Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears back with you here. Getaway Friday the 13th, October the 13th, 2023, 14 and a half minutes past the hour. And not only is it Friday the 13th, which is considered a fear, Triskaidekaphobia Day, but it is a Friday the 13th in October, which rarely ever happens, the month of Halloween. So in celebration of that, or I guess in observance of that, we've got Sean Kraft and Matt Morgan with us here today, but we've also invited somebody in who has, I don't think, ever been on the station, but a few months ago she came and interviewed me for something I did, staying the night in the cemetery to see if gypsies showed up. The Gypsy Queen story years and years ago. She has her own, what do you call it? It's a...
I just call it a YouTube channel.
YouTube channel. She has her own YouTube channel in which she investigates things that are murders and true crimes, really is what it is. Miranda Hunley. Miranda, how are you?
I'm good. I'm excited to be here.
Excited to have you here. Just get a little closer to the microphone there.
Oh, okay, sorry.
Now you're good. Now you're good. Miranda, how did this all start, your interest in true crimes and the YouTube channel?
Well, I kind of noticed, really, my coworkers getting sick of me talking about true crime, and it's something that I liked looking up, almost like an obsession where I would, Crab Boy is probably the best example.
Now, what is Crab Boy?
Crab Boy was in the Freak Show, and he ended up becoming like an alcoholic, very abusive to his wife and children, and his wife ended up paying somebody to murder him. Because
now, where did this happen?
I have no idea, honestly.
Wasn't a Marion thing.
No, they were traveling in the Freak Show, but I got so obsessed with looking him up, I was ended up threw my whole day off, my whole schedule off, because I couldn't stop looking it up. And then I talk to people, and people are like, oh, that's cool, Miranda. But I wanted to talk to people who have the same interests as me. So I decided to start uploading my videos and ended up getting a following and people commenting and people who wanted to talk to me about it. So,
well, you do some very in-depth work, which I think is fascinating.
Thank you.
Because a lot of people just do, you know, they talk about it, they present the case, and then they just talk about it. But you actually try to get interviews. You actually try to talk to people involved. You go out and try to... That's very interesting. So not only do you tell the story that's already there, but you bring it into today's time.
Yes, yes. And I've met a lot of awesome people doing this work, because one person sees my video, reaches out to me, another person reaches out to me, and then it kind of ends up when I interview, like, George Skates, you know? He got word of it and was like, hey, I want to call her. Can I talk to her?
I want to talk about that in just a second, because that's fascinating. But Friday the 13th, what does this mean to you?
You know, I never put too much into Friday the 13th. I love that it's in October this year, because that is unique. It kind of adds to, like, the spooky aesthetic, and it gives, like, today, you know, all the haunted houses are probably going to be sold out, because everyone wants to go to haunted house on Friday the 13th.
Especially in October.
Yes.
Now tell people how they would find your stuff, and then we're going to talk about George Skates, because I think Matt and Sean will find this fascinating.
Okay, you can find me on Facebook. It's called My Hometown Horrors. It's called My Hometown Horrors because I center most of my content around Marion, Ohio, or, you know, surrounding counties like Delaware, Bucyrus, Mansfield. So that's called My Hometown Horrors on Facebook. And then I have a TikTok, which is just Miranda Hunley. And then my YouTube is just Miranda Hunley.
So, you go there, you get the videos, which are nice encapsulations of the story. My story's on there.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
yes.
Did my story do well?
It did. It did. A lot of people on YouTube liked it. I like YouTube better because I can go more in depth. TikTok, it's, people just want to scroll on TikTok, so most of the videos that make it on TikTok are less than 1 minute. I can't give all my information on just 1 minute, so that's why I like YouTube. So it did really good on YouTube.
So talk about George Skates. Who is he? It's a Marianne story. Mm-hmm. What happened? And you recently spoke to him.
Yes. So George was framed for a murder in Bell Fountain, Ohio. The murder in Bell Fountain.
But George was in Marion.
George was in Marion. Yes, that's what makes it pretty interesting. So he had went to Bell Fountain once before, and that was in 1972. So how did he get framed for a murder that happened in 1979 in Bell Fountain? The body was found. It was it had been preserved. All the blood was drained out of it. Fresh, clean clothes, and no blood in the on the ground. So
the murder victim,
yes,
had been drained of their blood.
Mm-hmm.
Now, how do you do that?
Most likely, they said like a bathtub full of ice is what the police were thinking.
So they killed him, mm-hmm, and then they put him in a bathtub full of ice.
Yes, and he had ate dinner right before because he had undigested food in his stomach. So most likely, he was murdered in his house. His shoes were also taken off the same pattern that he would after work, where he unties one shoe, kicks it off, and then uses his foot to kick the other shoe off without untying it.
Now, where does the blood go when you're on ice?
Down the drain.
Oh, so they basically just drained
him. Yes.
Kinda okay.
Like how the
bleed out. They let him bleed out.
Yes.
Okay.
Kind of like how the Black Dahlia was found with no blood.
Right.
She was cut, blood drained, and then dumped. So this was Arthur Smith, and he was left in the same way, and he was dumped in a field not too far from his house or from Rink's department store. So they were saying that George had shot and killed him in the field. But when you shoot somebody, how do you not get blood on your shirt? Like, the victim's shirt. He was shot in the chest. You'd probably bleed on your shirt. But he had a fresh, clean shirt, fresh pants, and fresh socks. And his shoes were left up by his head. His eyeglasses were never found, and he could not see without his eyeglasses. So why would, it's odd, because why would George go to Bell Fountain, murder somebody, take him home, clean him up, then take him back to the town that he was murdered in where the people are looking for him? Why wouldn't he dump him in Marion or in Mansfield or in Delaware? Why would he take him back to Bell Fountain?
So now okay, so he... The theory is that he shot him in a field in Bell Fountain,
mm-hmm,
put him in the car,
mm-hmm,
drove him back to Marion,
yes,
put him in a tub full of ice,
yes,
drained his blood,
yeah,
dressed him up,
mm-hmm,
drove him back to Bell Fountain,
mm-hmm,
and put him back in the field.
Yeah, it makes no sense, does it?
He traveled more when he was dead than probably he ever did when he was alive.
It makes absolutely no sense. There is no blood on the ground.
What year
either.
Was this, by the way?
1979. Yes. But George, it was a cold case for 3 years, and then they convicted George in 1983, where he was really thrown off, like, who did I murder?
Why did he become a person of interest?
So, George was ornery as heck, and anybody who knew George knew that. My dad personally knew George, and was like, you know, he was ornery, he got in trouble, and the police could not catch him for any of the stuff that he was doing. So the police were wanting to get him locked up anyways. And then it was re-election time in Bell Fountain. And the prosecutor's like, I want, you know, to solve this case to make me look good. So they kind of worked together. But also, I do need to add in that Arthur Smith's wife was having an affair with one of the police officers named Dean Ransbottom.
Now, how do we know that? A Bell Fountain police officer.
Yes. So, there was an anonymous letter sent in to Sheila, and Sheila she's a wonderful lady. That's Arthur Smith's daughter. I went to her house, sat down, and talked with her, and she showed me all the newspaper articles, all of the, anonymous letters or letters sent in from the public to the prosecutor with information on this case. And one of the anonymous letters was talking about that, the affair. And was also talking about Kathy, who is Arthur's stepdaughter, who was cashing fake checks in at Rink, and Arthur was pressing charges on her. So
there were people who had motive.
Yes, also.
But now, and I have a question here, though.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now, if you are the prosecutor in Bell Fountain, this crime is 4 years old.
Mm-hmm.
You want to convict somebody to get reelected. This happens a lot. I mean, it's unfortunate it does, but that's how people get reelected. Say they're hard on crime.
Mm-hmm.
Why would you choose a man in Marion? Because that makes the story sound more convoluted. Why wouldn't you just try to find a criminal in Belle Fountain? I've been to Belle Fountain. They have criminals there.
Yes, they do. I think it was because somebody from the Marion Police Department was in, you know, cahoots with somebody from Belle Fountain, and they're like, man, this George Skates, his name keeps getting brought into the police department, and we just can't convict him of anything. Because George was, he was good at what he did, crime-wise. And he never murdered anybody, but the police wanted him locked away, just off the streets, out of my hair type deal.
But, see, here's a confusing thing. What was the connection? There had to be something when they went to trial.
Yes. It all starts with a guy by the name of Jack Benton. And I'm going to make this as fast as possible because...
Well, no, take your time. We've got time.
I'm going to talk about it on my video. I'm planning on recording the video this weekend, and it's a long kind of spiderweb-like story. But Jack Benton was in trouble, and he wanted immunity. And he's like, well, I have information on the murder in Belle Fountain. And that kind of was like, oh, okay, well, let's hear about it. And he was like, it was Jimmy Rogers. And Jimmy Rogers has been robbing people since he was 14. He was a very career criminal. And Jimmy Rogers had a wife and he had a mistress. And his mistress's husband was also robbing people with him. So a nice little love triangle going on there. And he was locked up with Danny Stanley, who was his mistress's husband. So him and Danny made up this story, and they added George into it because neither one of them wanted to get in trouble.
Now, how did they know George?
They worked with him at Quaker Oats.
Okay.
So they wanted to, and they knew he had like a bad name in town. So they made up this story, and then finally, Becky Boop, funny name, but Becky Boop was Danny's wife, Jimmy's mistress. So she eventually tells Danny, it was just me and Jimmy. George wasn't there. And I think that's when Danny was like putting the pieces together. His wife is kind of fooling around with this guy. Why is my wife alone with this guy in Belle Fountain? So he ends up, he's like, you know what? I'm not going to lie and say it was George. So he ends up recanting his statement and saying that story was completely fabricated. George was not there. It was Becky and it was Jimmy.
Now, why did they want to kill this man, Arthur?
So I don't think that they did. I think it was his wife. Kathy was getting charged with those fake checks. Kathy was friends with Jimmy. So I think that's when Kathy was told Jimmy, like, this is what happened. You know, I'm scared I didn't mean to do this. Or I'm scared my mom didn't mean to do this. Or Dean didn't mean to do it. You know, because there's a lot of evidence that it happened in the home. And Sheila talks a lot in my video that's uploaded right now. Sheila talks a lot about, they had this one-car garage. It was full of junk. And when her dad went missing, before she even filed a missing person report, Mary Ann, the wife, had cleared all this junk out of the garage, parked the car with the trunk up to a freezer, a deep freezer. So why did she need that car in there? Why was that more important? Also, Mary Ann had taken all the money out of the bank, put it in her bank account with just her name in it, and then she moves to Germany.
Why did she lives in Germany now.
Yeah, why did she move to Germany when her husband was murdered?
Now, how soon after?
She didn't even wait for the trial to end.
Okay, now here's the important part of this, because all people in this country get a fair trial mm-hmm. with their peers.
Yes.
Your peers have to convict you. Mm-hmm. How did, with all this craziness, how did George get convicted?
You know, I have no idea, and that's why I want to get the story out. Right before I came here, I was just kind of reading over the testimonies, and George's lawyer said, you know, you can say all this and that. There is no physical evidence that George was ever there. They tested all the guns in George's house, and none of them were the murder weapon. So George's DNA was not there. There was no...
But what was his alibi? Where was he the night of the murder?
He was home.
Alone.
With, I think, his wife, Cindy.
Now, did Cindy say he was at home with me this night?
Cindy, you know, I honestly don't think Cindy, I read anything that Cindy had to say about it.
I imagine if she had said he's been home with me all night, that would have been open and shut, let's close this thing.
Yes.
Where is Cindy today?
I have no idea. The only one I know is George had a son named Wesley, and his mom still lives in town.
I would think that your alibi really is what's going to get you off the hook here.
Yes. Yeah.
So I'm guessing the alibi must not have checked out. I'm sure that the police officers questioned his wife.
Yeah.
Maybe that was a... See, because here's the problem with alibi. And I have, you know, I don't... Not judging anything here. But when you say you were with somebody that night, and the police go and question that person and say, were you with that person? And that person says, no. Mm-hmm. Well, now you got problems.
Yeah. And that was kind of my thing with Marianne, too. Marianne had multiple different stories and conflicting stories with Kathy about where Arthur was around the time he was murdered. And so back then, they had a... That you would call the police and you would say, my name is Arthur Smith. I'm locking up Rink's department store. Give the store number. And then they would hear it click. They would hear the alarm get set. And then they'd walk to the car and then you hang up. That happened that night. Perfectly fine. But according to Jimmy, as soon as Arthur left the department store, he attacked Arthur.
Okay. Well, I guess we need to go back, though, to George, though, because he's the man in prison to this day for this, right?
Mm-hmm.
Amongst other things now, though. There were some things that happened years
riot.
Later at a prison. Yeah. Lucasville prison riot.
Yeah.
But, okay, so we don't know if he really has... He thought he had an alibi, but we really don't know. Does anybody... By the way, if anybody knows what... Do we know what her name is, Cindy? What?
I don't know.
If she's still with us, let her. We'd like to know if she was with him that night.
Yeah.
That would be something to know. So if any of his family is out there, which I think they are, I think they're listening today because I got a message this morning.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So George's family, if anybody knows where Cindy is, let us know. We would like to know if he was with her that night because that's an important part of this story, I think.
Yeah. And this also happened at, it wasn't too late at night. It happened at 9:30 p.m. That's when Arthur locked up the department store. So that's usually the time people are home. Some people aren't, though.
But what was the evidence? Because the prosecutor, no matter how much in Bell Fountain he wants to prosecute him, you got to have something.
There is absolutely no evidence that George was there.
It was a jury trial, right?
Yes.
Why did the jury convict him?
I have no idea. Like I said, I read through the testimony right before I came here. That's where, when I messaged you, I was like, hey, I'm down the road. I was just... right down there on Church Street, going through real fast. And there was absolutely zero evidence that George Skates was at the crime scene.
What was the closing argument of the prosecutor? Did he have bad representation?
I thought he did a decent job. I thought that if George had a little more support, maybe he could have got a better lawyer. But, it was really the closing argument was there is absolutely no evidence.
Okay,
it's hearsay.
I'm going to bring Matt and Sean in here in a second because this is a fascinating story, but and it's a Marianne story. And a man is in prison right now, George Skates, for this murder. Again, amongst other things that happened in Lucasville a few years ago. But essentially, this is how the man ended up in prison, which is why he was in prison in Lucasville when the riots happened years ago. But in any event, the burden of proof is on the prosecutor to prove that the person is guilty. Okay, that's how it's supposed to happen. But if there's some evidence that proves that you're not guilty, that helps.
Yes.
So what is the evidence that proves that he is not guilty? Aside from the alibi, which we don't even know was proven at this point, what is the evidence that George did not do this? Because somebody had to do it.
Yes. I think that the only fingerprints in the car were Kathy's. I think that's a pretty big indication that... he changed... His clothes were changed. Arthur, had his car keys in his pocket, And the keys that were in his car were the spare keys. Where do people keep their spare keys? Normally in their house, along with their clothes. So it, to me, that says somebody that was inside his house, along with the fact that he had undigested dinner in his stomach, that indicates that this crime had happened at the house, and somebody had access to his spare car key and his fresh, clean clothes.
If it was the wife, why would she want to dress him? What is the significance behind that?
I think that she tried her best to make it look like a robbery, because I think that Dean, her lover, was in on it too, and was like, okay, well, he was a cop, so he has seen a lot of robberies. So I think that's, she had a lot of coaching with him, along with just, the police had, like, searched that field, and he knew the police had searched that field, and then they dumped the body in that field. There was also...
So he wasn't in the field the first time the police searched it?
No, and also, in the testimony, Jimmy Rogers had said, we looked for a field that had no houses around to dump the body in, and this field that he was dumped in had a house right there, and that house had a German Shepherd. So the body supposedly had been in the field for 10 days, according to Jimmy Rogers. Would that German Shepherd find that body?
What did they steal from him?
Supposedly they stole like $25,000 in cash.
He just had that in his wallet?
He was locking up the department store, so it was the department store.
It was the department store.
Yes.
Oh, now, see, now there's a whole other ripple to this case.
Yes, but Kathy's ex-boyfriend, after this case
happened. That's the wife.
Kathy is the daughter, stepdaughter.
The daughter.
So her ex-boyfriend, Al Yeager, had written the police department and said, Kathy has been asking me to rob her stepdad for years now. And then she met Jimmy Rogers, who is a career criminal. So that's where I think she kind of got in contact with Jimmy.
Did the $25,000 ever show up anywhere?
No. And also, here's another part. The prosecutor's son was stealing drugs from Gray Drugs, which is a department store inside of Rinks. And Arthur was really cracking down on this. It was called the Black Book. What drugs are being sold for this much money? Trying to make sure everything lines up together, and it wasn't. So he got the police involved. Well, the prosecutor was saying, this isn't a police matter. And they were arguing a lot in the store, in front of customers, in front of the employees. They saw Arthur really challenging the police department and this prosecutor. Well, that Black Book was never found after the robbery. So I thought that was kind of weird, too.
That's all very interesting. So $25,000 to this day has never shown up.
Mm-mm.
Do we know where that is?
No. It was never found.
Well, Matt and Sean, this is an interesting story. Murder here in Marion. Murder in Bellefontaine, but apparently he took a side trip after his death here in Marion.
Yeah.
According to the prosecution. What do you think?
I'm confused on to how he got brought in to, like... how he got found guilty if there was no evidence. Mm-hmm. I would think if there was no evidence, that there wouldn't even be a trial.
Yeah, what was the... Nothing.
There was absolutely nothing. Also, another fun fact, Kathy was never found before the trial started. She had ran away and nobody was able to find her.
Is she still in Germany?
So, Marianne moved to Germany.
That's the wife.
Yes, Kathy...
Is the daughter.
Yes, Kathy's the stepdaughter. And Kathy just kind of like... disappeared, and they couldn't find her for the trial. So Sheila brought up a good point, and you know, Sheila would be a great person to have on the show because she's so funny.
She's the daughter.
She is Arthur's daughter. Yeah,
right.
She's funny, and she remembers this clear as day. So Sheila was like, well, how on earth do you have a trial without one of the suspects?
Like, well, was she a suspect?
She was the main suspect for up until George Gates got brought involved.
Because but she left the country.
No, Marianne left the country.
Right. Who was the suspect?
Kathy, the stepdaughter.
The person you interviewed was the suspect.
So Kathy's the stepdaughter. Sheila's the biological daughter.
So who did you talk to?
Sheila.
Sheila, okay.
Biological daughter.
So where did Kathy go?
Nobody knows.
To this day, we don't know where she is.
No, she just...
She didn't go to Germany.
She didn't go to Germany with her mom, unless she did and nobody knew about it. But Mary Ann told the police she was going to Germany. And they were like, okay, have fun.
Isn't there like a missing person report out on this woman? She's been gone for 40 years now.
Unless, like, she told everybody besides the police who needed her for the trial.
But she's still out there.
Yeah.
She's not dead.
I don't know. The way she was
Didn't it bother the police that she's not around?
I think the Bell Fountain police knew and just didn't. Because I think the Bell Fountain police knew a lot. And Sheila had a little bit of a theory that Dean Ransbottom knew too much about the other police officers that they helped cover this case up for him. So he didn't out them on their faults.
But wouldn't she have resurfaced in the last 40 years somewhere?
I looked her up on Facebook and couldn't find her.
Well, that's interesting. What do you think, Sean?
Well, I guess I'm confused. So, they robbed him, right? And did they take him back to his house and kill him?
So according to Jimmy, no. According to the evidence, he was murdered at his house. And so if Mary Ann took all the money out of his bank account, which he was a World War II veteran, he was a ex-railroad worker, and then he became a manager of multiple department stores around Central Ohio. So he had good money. So my guess is if Mary Ann was taking that money, she probably took that $25,000 too. Went to Germany with it.
Was there a life insurance?
Yes. There was multiple life insurances, and the money was taken out of all of those, too.
Wow.
Sheila talked a little bit about this, too. She hired a lawyer really fast. So the inheritance, they said that he had $0 to his name for the inheritance for Sheila and her brother, Mike.
Hmm.
Yeah.
It is. I think she's involved.
I definitely do, too.
Well, why couldn't they extradite her, though, back here? Germany's not a hostile country with the United States.
I don't think they tried. Also, so she had this big Oldsmobile. And like Sheila talked about, she parked it in the garage next to the deep freezer. And then somebody had seen a very large car in the field right by where Arthur's body was found. So the person who saw that went to the police, told them, and that's why the police went back to that field to look again. But the person that told the police ended up dying in his house 2 weeks later.
That they had seen the car parked next to the freezer.
They saw the car in that field where Arthur's...
Oh, in the field.
Arthur's body was found. And according to Jimmy, his... testimony was that they used Arthur's car, which is a very, and I have a picture of me with it. It's a very small red Volkswagen. It's not a very large car like the suspect has seen. And
where did they find the car?
The car was by Rinks, just conveniently parked there.
So at some point, somebody did have to pick him up, though.
Who?
Arthur, because why was his car still at Rinks where he worked?
According to Jimmy, so, and this car is a manual car. Jimmy didn't know how to drive a manual, but George did. So, Jimmy made the story like, the gears were grinding, and it would have made a big scene. So, if that happened, why wouldn't he be like, hey, George, you know how to drive a manual, can we switch, you know? That didn't make sense.
So, how did George's name come up in the beginning?
Jack Benton said that it was Jimmy.
Now, Jack Benton, again, is the...
So Jack Benton was in trouble and he was looking for immunity.
Okay.
So he said...
Now, why was he in trouble?
Robberies.
Robberies. Basically. Okay. Yeah. So he was a suspect as well.
He wasn't a suspect. He was here in Marion. And
so how did he even get involved with this?
He just said, I know who robbed and murdered the Rink department store manager.
In
Bell Fountain.
Okay, yes. Now, how would he know this living in Marion?
It was a big news story on all the papers.
Okay.
Everyone was looking for who murdered Arthur Smith.
But he brought this up 4 years later?
Yes. And at first, he was just like, I know who did this. And they kind of didn't entertain it too well. And then he said Jimmy Rogers, who's been known to rob places. He's robbed Dino's. He robbed Leader Street Bar and Grill, KFC. He robbed a lot of people, not just in Marion, but all around Marion. So then they started listening because, okay, that's kind of believable. Jimmy Rogers then was like, well, I'm not going to tell you. You know, he was not cooperating. And then they were like, you won't get in trouble for anything to do with the robbery. So then he was like, okay, well, it was me and George Skates. And
so he brought up the name.
Yes.
Okay.
Because they worked together at Quaker Oats.
Right. So there was an implication that he had done this from his former coworker.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's where the name comes up.
Yes, but so him and George had robbed people in the past before, and this guy got shot. I think it was at Leader Street Bar and Grill. He got shot, and any of the robberies, there was some type of violence that had to do with Jimmy Rogers. And when George had never violently robbed anyone, it was more of a these people aren't home right now, you know, that type of thing. No violent crime, more property crime, if that makes sense.
Now you talked to George in a private conversation mm-hmm. on the telephone.
Yes.
What does he say? Where's his wife? Does he know?
No, I don't know. I can ask him. I don't think he talks to Cindy anymore. I know he talks to a couple people, but he asked me not to tell people who he talks to because I think that other people don't know they talk, if that makes sense.
Now, what talks to now?
Yes, yeah, like phone call wise. He talks to his daughter. I don't think he talks to his sons. He has a ex-wife named Peggy he doesn't talk to, but he talks to a couple people still.
Now, why would he not want those people to be known? Are they known people?
I think that they just, I think they don't let people in their personal lives know they still have contact with George.
Oh, okay.
So, like, their kids and stuff.
Okay. So, he says what? Today. In today's time.
He had never been to, Rinks. He had never met Arthur Smith. He had never, done anything like that. You know, and I asked him, I was like, you were pretty ornery, right? And he was like, what? No. You know, he really played it off.
He denied it.
Yes, and I was like, I know you are no angel, but you didn't murder anybody and you don't deserve, you know, he's on death row.
Had he ever been convicted of anything? Theft, assault, anything?
I'm trying to think. In the 60s, I think there was a robbery. And so when he was getting charged for that robbery, his girlfriend at the time went to prison for cashing fake checks. And that's when it kind of spiraled for him because, you know, it was like one or the other was in prison and it was getting bad for him. So,
what did you get from talking to him? He's type of guy?
He's very funny.
He's a funny man.
He cracked me up the whole hour phone call.
Really? Is he telling jokes or is it dry humor or what is it?
So I was asking him questions about who he was as a person. So he has 5 different kids by 4 different women. So I asked him about that. I was like, so were you a ladies' man? And he was like, no, not at all. Those women made me do that and they got pregnant. I'm like, okay, George. Like, that type of stuff. I told him, I was like, I would like to come visit you. And he said, you can come visit whenever you want. I'm always home. So it was just that type of stuff.
He's in prison.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. He's in prison where?
Lucasville still.
Oh, he's still in Lucasville.
Yes.
Okay. Did you ask him if he did it?
I did.
And he said?
No.
Well, okay.
Yes.
But why does he think he didn't do it?
Like, didn't do, like, murder something?
Yeah, yeah.
Because he wasn't there. He said that a lot of the times, so during this trial, Jimmy brought up 15 different robberies. And he said a lot of those, he was not there. Like, Dino's Bar and Grill, he said he frequented a lot with Cindy. and he knew the owner, and the owner knew him. So when this robbery happened, and they said it was George Skates, the owner was like, no, I know George. I saw their faces. This was not George Skates. But still, that was able to be brought up in the trial, that he robbed Dino's, even though the owner said, no, it was not.
Now, do you talk to him often now?
I don't have time. I wish I did.
You would take the phone call if you had more time.
Yes.
Does he call?
No, I let him know that I'm very busy. So I told him I would let his daughter know when we could schedule another phone call. And he said that's fine.
Okay. What do you think, Matt?
I don't know. The whole thing, I mean, obviously he's going to say he didn't do it. But I don't know, the whole thing just doesn't make sense to me. It doesn't seem like, it seems to me like this should still just be a closed case. A cold case.
Mm-hmm. Seems like there's something missing here. What do you think, Sean?
Oh, definitely there's a lot of holes in the story. But hopefully he's not set up. But it sounds like he might have been.
But what? There's got to be something. Why would these 12 jurors convict him? What did they hear?
Maybe it's kind of like how, maybe it's like an Al Capone thing. Like, Al Capone obviously did commit tax evasion, but, like, they slammed the book down on him when he committed tax evasion because everybody knew he was a mob boss. They just didn't have anything to pin him with. So mm-hmm. when they pinned him on tax evasion, they said, give him everything you can.
I'm confused who Jimmy is. I think Jimmy might be involved in all this.
So Jimmy is a career criminal, and he was friends...
It's always good to have a career.
Yeah.
He was friends with Kathy, but he also knew George. So that's where the triangle kind of leaks things in. So certain things like... I think the reason the jury was able to convict them was because although there was a lot of things that Jimmy said that didn't make sense, there was a lot of things that Jimmy said that did make sense. He said, like, Arthur Smith was shot 4 times. Was that in the newspaper? Did Jimmy know that from the newspaper? Or did Kathy tell him? He said he tied Arthur up with wire that he got from Rinks. Okay, so Rinks wasn't selling that wire. So he didn't get it from Rinks.
So Jimmy did all the testifying against George.
Yes, but Arthur was working on his pontoon boat and had that wire at his house. So did Kathy say we tied him up with this wire, just say you got it from Rinks?
So why are they protecting his wife?
Which, Marianne?
Yeah.
I think because Marianne was sleeping with Dean Ransbottom, which was a cop.
Right. Yes. But so okay, I understand that. So she's sleeping with the cop.
Mm-hmm.
So what, and Arthur didn't know that she was sleeping with the cop?
No. So Marianne was closer in age to Arthur's children than she was Arthur. So she was a much younger woman.
Oh, okay.
Arthur was 58 and Marianne was 40.
Okay, 18 years difference.
And then his daughter was 37, yeah.
Okay. So, why this Jimmy person, why is he protecting Marianne?
So Jimmy was already in prison when this case came about. So he was in prison facing 37 to 103. No, it was 130 years. So anywhere between 37 years and 130 years. He was already in prison for it. So he was talking to his lawyer, or his attorney, which was J.C. Ratliff. And he was saying, you can, if you testify, we'll give you some leniency on your sentences. And actually, and they also granted full immunity. So all your involvement in this case, you're off the hook for. So that's why he was...
Well, they had to believe then that something was true, or why else... Because the judge has to grant immunity, not the prosecutor, not the lawyers.
So in my videos, I will be... In the video, I say I come with receipts. So I come with a lot of the paperwork. And there are multiple spots where it's talking about this immunity. And where Jimmy had said, I felt like they were putting words in my mouth. So things like that.
But why would the judge do that? Because immunity is a very rare thing, especially to somebody already in prison. Mm-hmm. And if you've got no credible evidence, why would the judge grant you immunity?
Because they wanted this case solved for the election. And
but the judge wasn't up for re-election.
I think it had a lot more to do with the prosecutors. Because, like I said, the prosecutor's son. So it could have easily been the prosecutor's son and Kathy together. Or it could have been, you know, because that black book was never found. And Arthur was trying to press charges for the missing drugs. And the prosecutor and Arthur were already going, you know, butting heads. There was also a part in the video that Sheila was talking about. Her dad got a call at work saying your house is on fire. So he locks up the department store and he jets out of there. So that kind of makes me think, like, was that something to do with the gray drugs and the, you know, missing medications? So I think that's what makes the case so interesting is there are so many people that wanted Arthur gone in Belle Fountain, and then in Marion there were so many people that wanted George gone. And I also have from the Belle Fountain prosecutor to the Marion Police Department telling them to shoot George on sight. And so when they get there, George is shot, but the police didn't shoot him.
Who shot him?
This I asked him flat out because I have the newspaper articles about it, and my dad.
And he was shot.
Yes. And
okay.
My dad had told me about it. My dad said George rolled over on himself, or rolled over on his gun and shot himself. I'm like, George shot himself.
But how did he know the police were coming for him?
They didn't. It was George's wife that shot him. And the story he tells...
You know, that's happened more than once here in Marion, where a spouse has shot somebody, so this is...
Yeah, so the story George told also made me laugh. He was like, me and Cindy just got in an argument, and I was walking out the back door, and she shoots me in the elbow. And I turn around, and I tell her she's no Annie Oakley, that's not where you shoot to kill, or something like that. And then the cops zero in on me. And I'm like, well, isn't that convenient? The cops are right there, and you get shot. But,
so, the Belle Fountain police say shoot to kill. Shoot on spot.
Yes.
To the Marion police, because they're now going to go arrest him.
Yes, and so why would the Belle Fountain police want George dead? Because there would be no trial. And you can
right,
close
but,
the case.
But, I mean, the Marion police aren't in on this, so why would they take that order? I mean, what's the...
So the prosecutor, his name's Doug McGilvery, he was telling them that George was saying that if any cops come near him, he's shooting the police first. So they're saying, shoot to kill. So no cops...
So they had called him already. He knew he was a suspect.
No, and that's where I'm confused. Like, when did George say that? George swears up and down he's never said that to anybody, especially the Belle Fountain police or especially the Belle Fountain prosecutor.
This is a confusing thing. So they say shoot to kill to the Marion police. The Marion police aren't gonna go shoot to kill because they don't know if he's gonna come peacefully or not.
Yes.
So the police show up at his house to apprehend him.
Yes.
And?
Well, he has a gunshot wound to his elbow, so
right,
they take him to Marion General. So they didn't shoot him. They
didn't shoot him?
Yeah, no, they
so
didn't.
So what are the odds that you would be shot the day that the police are coming to arrest you?
Yeah. But he told them, and he told the ER, he shot himself. Why would you shoot yourself in the elbow? I don't know. But he told everyone he shot himself in the elbow.
Well, man, he's protecting his wife. Now, listen, let's give him the benefit of the doubt. But he says now his wife shot him.
Yes.
Okay. The wife who we don't know where she ever ended. That's also his alibi. The wife who shot him, right?
Cindy.
Yes. They also wanted to charge him for all the marijuana that was in his house, but they weren't even worried about that.
See, if this is not a Friday the 13th story, I don't know what is.
Sounds to me, this is a big cover-up.
Yeah.
Oh, but I don't know because that part, I was with you right up till that part, but now that makes zero sense to me. Yeah. The Belle Fountain police say shoot to kill. The Marion police are not going to kill.
I think the Belle Fountain police said that because if there is no George Skates, there's no trial with no wacky story from Jimmy Rogers.
I get that.
Yeah.
I get that. But why is he shot that day? Not by the police.
By his wife.
Yeah, him and...
And why did the wife shoot him?
He
Cindy
said...
want him gone.
No, he said that he was that they were just arguing, and she said this is enough, or enough is enough, or whatever, and just shot him in the elbow.
Were they arguing about that case?
No.
I mean, the police had to call it. Did the police call ahead and say, listen, you can come in peacefully?
No.
So,
she was probably trying to kill him, but she just didn't know how to shoot a gun.
Yeah, I don't know. I thought that was very, very wacky. And I had to ask him about that, because when my dad said that, I was like, he was sleeping with a gun, like, you cuddle it? Like, why were you sleeping with a gun? And he was like, no, that was a lie. lying to the police is bad.
We need to find Cindy.
Yeah.
Now, I know some of George's family's out there listening because they contacted me this morning and wanted to hear this interview. Where is Cindy? Somebody tell us where. This is the woman we need to talk to now, because were you with him that night? We need to know where the alibi is.
I'm going to text his daughter right now and see if I can see if she knows where she's at.
Yes. We need to Cindy, you have an open invitation on this show. Come on in. We just want to ask you a couple questions here. We just want to know where you were on the night of the murder of Arthur in Belle Fountain. Were you with George? And why did you shoot him the day he's being apprehended by the Marion police? That's all we want to know, Cindy. She still could live locally here for all we know.
She could.
She could be your neighbor.
She could be.
You've got some people in your neighborhood with some sketchy pests.
Yeah, I do.
I feel like you're asking an awful lot from a lady you've never met before.
Well, no, it's an interview.
Hey, I didn't get to come in here and tell me why you shot this man on the
day. No, I mean, it's on the record. It's not like she did it, huh?
I'm going to say to her, you know, before you start shooting somebody, you better go do some target practice.
Well, but I don't get the correlation there. The correlation's very strange.
So it says that her and her son live in Marion.
Bring her on in. What's her phone number?
Let me get the phone number.
Yeah, we'll book her for Monday.
Hang on. George's daughter asked how she can listen. So.
How can Mrs. Cindy listen?
How can George's daughter listen?
Oh, George's daughter. Yeah. Well, it'll be on the website. Adam will put it up on the website.
Okay.
She'll be able to listen to the show. So, does the daughter know where this woman is?
Yes, she just texted me and said.
Oh, does she have her phone number?
I can ask.
Yeah. Cindy, we don't think you killed anybody.
No,
we just want you to come in here and square this away with us. We just want. You know, we want to understand what in the world's going on, because that's what we do on this show. You know, Cindy, come on in. George has already agreed to speak, do an interview with me, right?
Yes.
Yes. So we're going to have a prison interview.
Yeah, approved by the prison.
So, you know, this is what's going to happen. So we're going to straighten this thing all out. We're gonna shake this tree and see what monkeys fall out.
So before we go, he went home to Cindy, but Cindy didn't say she was with him.
We don't know that, and we're going to find that out.
I don't know. I'm pretty sure that's what he said was he was home. He had children, and yeah. if I talked to him on the phone, so I am like 99% sure he said he was home with his kids.
Because truly, in this case, Arthur's daughter really, I mean, she can tell you backstory about what was going on with Arthur, but as far as the murder, she really is not going to know anything. This really all comes down to George and his wife, because here's his alibi,
mm-hmm.
Here's the person who shot him the day the cops apprehended him.
Mm-hmm.
This is who we need to talk to.
So when did she... Can I ask one more question? We're almost out of time. When did she actually shoot him in an elbow or whatever happened?
It was sometime that day. I don't think it was...
And he didn't go to the hospital?
No, I think he was trying his best not to get his wife arrested. But
Do you think it could have been shoot me so, you know, the cops don't arrest me? You know, shoot to kill?
No, I don't think that.
Like, you know, he thinks... Like, he had to know he was a suspect.
If he knew the cops were coming for
shoot
him...
Shoot me and kill me.
Yeah, like, why wouldn't... If he just got shot, he'd either, one, have to go to the hospital, or two, he's not going anywhere.
Yeah, I think that it was just an argument, and she was just like... And he was
I tell you what, we'll be back on at noon today, and we're going to know by that point. We're going to try to find Cindy in the next hour. Now, she's not going to come on immediately, I'm sure, but by noon today, we're going to know if we're going to get her on. So, We're going to tell you more about Cindy. Don't tune away. Pastor Craig's coming up next. Miranda, this is fascinating. Thank you so much for coming in today. And people need to check out your stuff just for things like this. Where do they check it out again?
Facebook is My Hometown Horrors. And then YouTube is Miranda Hunley. TikTok is Miranda Hunley.
Miranda Hunley, thank you so much. Pastor Craig coming up next.
Download the free TuneIn app on any mobile device to listen anywhere in the world. CRT Mechanicals. Address 2842 Marion Waldo Road. Telephone number 740-225-4495. Webpage crtmechanicals.com.